Hey, Jay, I got something to host. Where do I host it?
Why, on HostGator, of course. They offer 99.9% uptime and have 24/7, 365 customer support.
Wow, if only I can kick back some of that money to my favorite gaming podcast, Blood and Barrel.
Not only can you do that, but you can save yourself some money in the process.
Tell me how.
Use the checkout code EBPODCAST9 and save 25% off your first order.
Wow, and I still hate you. AJ, you'll never be my Valentine. Don't ask. I'll kill you. Ah. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for February 14th, 2013. This is Mike Minotti. I am joined by my brother, AJ Minotti.
Hello.
How goes it?
Good.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. Good. Good news.
Yeah.
News.
The news are, yeah, there's
news.
There's also some bad news.
Bad news. Good news, bad news. Game impressions?
Yeah.
Game impressions?
Yeah.
Game impressions.
What are you doing?
Release dates.
And Google Plus
release
community
dates,
stuff.
Google Plus community release dates, news.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm just trying to make it interesting.
Okay.
Just having fun with it. I don't know.
I thought I couldn't tell if this was a reference to something or
no, it's just
you being weird. Okay.
I was amused. Hey, I know you didn't talk about MPDs.
Yeah.
But you saw that like they included Ni No Kuni as number 11.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I guess if like you do it, like if they did it where like combined sales didn't count, it would be 7.
Well, do the MPDs count like the ones that like Namco's, like your copy?
I don't know. Who knows? That's the problem with the MPDs.
Yeah, MPDs.
That's the problem. The MPDs are not a great source of gauging video game success. The problem is we don't really know how to unless a developer tells us how many games there's.
Yeah, even that's not trustworthy.
I bring this up because I was talking to Jeff Grubb about this because he wrote about the MPDs, but I was wondering, like, is Ni No Kuni doing well? Because I'm just generally interested.
Yeah.
I would feel like that's pretty good. I mean, I don't know how far back you would have to look to see the last time a
hardcore JRPG was that highly ranked.
Well, if you don't count Pokemon's all the time, but
right,
or for the Final Fantasy 13s, that they do fine. But I mean, not even just that. But I mean, it's a new IP JRPG starring a kid. It looks like a cartoon, and it's only on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah,
it's got a lot of things going against it. On the flip side, though, it must have been a very expensive game to make. So who knows? I actually emailed Namco Bandai because I was interested. I said, hey, how's Ni No Kuni doing compared to like your estimates? And they said they don't share either of those numbers.
Oh, they answered.
Yeah, well, sure.
Because of cred now.
They have to. But they have to.
Do
I don't know what that means. That's an empty threat. But they said that Namco Bandai is very pleased with the critical and commercial reception.
So
I mean, who knows what
good.
That means? I feel like it has to be doing well, though.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows, though?
I just wonder what kind of legs it'll have.
JRPGs would generally have good legs, wouldn't they?
Back in the day, maybe.
Well, this game is, since there's no advertising, this game is all word of mouth, right? So
pretty much.
That word of mouth usually results in legs. We'll see. My point is, really, I just like Ni No Kuni a lot. I hope it's doing well.
That's fun.
Okay, what's the real news?
All right, Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct.
I love these Nintendo Directs. They're so cool. Yeah, Nintendo does a lot of things wrong right now, but the Nintendo Direct is pretty good.
Can we go on a quick well, let's do this. I want to go on a quick tangent, remind me. Okay, so let's go over the highlights. They're doing like this DLC for New Super Mario Bros. U, where it's like New Super Luigi U.
Yeah, it's weird because they're like, oh, now it focuses on Luigi. But in those games, Luigi plays like Mario, exactly. So I wonder what this means exactly.
Oh, they make it sound like it's a pretty big overhaul. Like every level is changed or modified. Well, Luigi, like, when they want to make the distinction, Luigi's jumps are always kind of floatier. I don't know if that's it.
But you don't necessarily have to change levels.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm curious to see exactly what this means.
Yeah.
Could be fun.
I mean, they're doing a lot of Luigi stuff because it's Luigi's 30th birthday.
Is that why?
Well, it's weird because GamesBeat even did a story and it's like, oh, it's Luigi's 30th birthday, but Nintendo won't do anything. Then, like, all of a sudden they're like, yeah, freaking Luigi! Woo! And I'm like, whoa. All of a sudden.
Because, I mean, we know Luigi's Mansion will be out soon, but then we also got
awesome.
We got Mario and Luigi. A new one for the 3DS.
Dream Team.
Yes.
And it's pretty cool because it's like,
it takes place in Luigi's dreams.
It's pretty cool because like in the bottom screen, Luigi's like sleeping. You can kind of mess with him to make things happen in the game world.
Yeah. It's kind of a neat evolution of the ideas behind Bowser's Inside Story.
Yeah, it's very similar, which was a great game.
Yeah.
It looks a lot better than Paper Mario Sticker Stars.
Oh, yeah. The Mario and Luigi games are great.
Yeah, they're very fun.
The original is one of my favorite RPGs.
It seems like people's don't regard the second one as well.
No, it was a bit weird. That was the one with the
babies.
The babies. Yeah, it got a little complicated and not in a good way. Yeah. I mean, it made sense. Like, oh, you have four buttons now. The controller was four characters.
And by the way, does it bother you that people complain about the fact that Mario 2 was, like, all a dream?
No.
Like, does it really matter for Mario 2?
Yeah, like, oh, the story was such a cliche.
I always like when people say, oh, you mean that didn't actually happen? I'm like, it already didn't happen.
It's a video game. Relax.
Guess what? That didn't happen.
Two plumbers, a toad man, and a princess did not travel in a racist Arabian wonderland. Okay? Never happened.
Sorry to burst your bubble.
Oh, it was all a dream. Oh, no.
And then Mario 3 is just a play. So the only one of Mario's original adventures that was real was the first Super Mario Brothers.
I guess. Maybe. It was a play, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Everything's they're all props. You could seriously, like, it's the only Mario game where every single, like, platform is either rooted on the ground or it has, like, strings suspending it from the air.
You're right. Oh, my God. My mind is blown. What's real?
Yeah. 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 But, the point is I don't care if things are dreams.
So okay. You know, it's a dream come true? Mario Golf for the 3DS?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, people may not realize this, but Mario Golf Advance Tour was my favorite Game Boy Advance game.
Yeah, but that was largely because it had all those RPG elements.
I know, so I don't know if that's going to be in this or not.
Did they ever make a DS version of Mario?
No.
Did they make a Wii version of Mario?
No, there has been Mario Golf, I believe, since the Game Boy one.
The Game Boy, like, the GameCube one came around the same time as it.
Yeah.
And those were great games. They are really fantastic.
I'm so happy.
So that is exciting. I do like those games. It's Camelot doing it again.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good at it.
Yeah. Then they announced that they're porting Donkey Kong Country Returns to the 3DS, which is great, because I never played it on the Wii.
I think there's a lot of people who missed it, and maybe this will be a good opportunity.
Yeah.
Because I played some of it, and it was fantastic. I just never really got around to it. So
right.
That's pretty cool.
And then
you kind of glossed over it, but, like, Luigi's Mansion, they show off, like, the co-op mode.
Oh, you really? I didn't get to watch this yet,
they
so
show
tell
off
me
all the player, and the co-op mode's cool, because it's like a tower.
Is it two Luigis?
It's four Luigis, and they're all. But it's completely cooperative, you know? But it's kind of neat.
But, Mike, how does that work to the story? Yeah. Why are there four Luigis?
It's all a dream.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. So it's like Ghostbusters meets Luigi.
That's what the game. Well, you know what? Because, like, this one, it has that thing kind of like in Ghostbusters where you have to, like, stun them first, and then you start. It's very much like the Ghostbusters game. That game's going to be cool.
I'm excited. Yeah.
I'm excited.
And then Animal Crossing New Leaf coming in June.
Finally, people have been asking about this release date for a long time because it's been out in Japan for a while.
I'm kind of done with Animal Crossing, I think.
Well, I was done with Animal Crossing after I played the one on GameCube, which was our first one, because I think there was one on 64.
We got the Pioneer Edition of the GameCube one, remember? Like the weird beta version?
Oh, yeah, shit, that's right. That was kind of neat.
That's probably worth something. Where is that?
That was back when, like, getting a game before it came out was really different and exciting for me. Show off.
Humble brag.
Yeah. I will say something, like, they're showing it. It does seem kind of neat. Like, there's, like, the whole point is, like, you're immediately become the mayor of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to, like, customize the look of your town by buying things. And apparently, like, they make, like, the first loan to Tom Nook a lot less than it usually is so that you can kind of upgrade your house earlier on.
That was always my thing. I always felt like it was, like, I never actually think I paid off Tom Nook once. It was always like, screw that.
I could see that. There might be a good time to try it again because I haven't tried it.
June's usually a slow time. So.
All right, sure.
Yeah. I don't think this was actually part of the Direct, but still Nintendo news. The next Eevee evolution has been revealed in Pokemon X and Y. Sylveon.
Now, first off, I don't know if people know this, but I don't know if people know this.
This is the only reason I put this in here.
I like Eevee a lot. Oh my God, I like Eevee.
Did you have an all Eevee team at one point?
Yeah. Well, I had back in Gold and Silver, I did, so I had five Eevees.
Yeah.
Because that's all there were. But I did that in Red and Blue. I had the three Eevees. Vaporeon is my favorite Pokemon. It's so cool. I had a level 100 Vaporeon, all natural, no rare candy dupes. You know, completely. I just literally would farm the Elite Four over and over again, just using my Vaporeon, which is pretty easy because you could use Ice Beam on Lance's dragons. God, why do I know all this shit?
Hey, look, we played a lot of that game in our defense.
Why do I know the name of the Elite Four members?
Yeah, I was gonna say Lance. Where the hell did that come from?
Sabrina was the ghost. Okay.
Okay, knock it off, nerd.
Right, but what's interesting though is this is the this is the eighth Eevee evolution, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, 8. The interesting thing is we don't know what type it is.
Right.
And I, and I, One of the leading theories is that it might be the subtle introduction of a new type, light type.
Yeah, that's what people are saying.
Which I think would be cool. Because otherwise, I feel like if it's not that, it's probably normal type. And that's boring. I hate normal Pokemon. Normal Pokemon are the worst. They're not strong against anything.
Like, there's no reason to use... I mean, like, the converse to that is also weak against anything.
Yes, it is. It's weak against fighting.
Yeah.
So that's not true. They just suck. It's like, there's no good reason to ever use a... You know what the worst Pokemon in the game are? Normal-type Pokemon that don't evolve. Like that... Like
Chansey?
Like Chansey, like Tauros.
Oh, yeah.
Tauros, Tauros, man, me and you, we're going all the way. Like, what are you... Tauros, use takedown. Oh, no, a real move. We're dead. I hate normal-type Pokemon. They suck.
Okay, well, don't use them.
I don't. No, I never will.
Okay.
Except maybe the Eevee, if it's normal.
You bastard.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, you can give them TMs for other people's moves, but, like, the TMs aren't as strong that way. Mm-hmm. So, normal Pokemon suck. That's my point.
Okay.
He shouldn't be normal type. I wish it was flying type, even though that really wouldn't make sense. Just because then, like, that's the one difficulty about having an all Eevee team, is, like, you can't use fly then. And the fly is pretty important.
Right.
All right, next. I like Eevee.
So... Ubisoft pissed off a lot of people.
Oh, that's right. This happened right after we did last.
Yeah, episode. So Rayman Legends, which was like 3 weeks from coming out.
It's done.
It's finished. Delayed to September so that it can go multi-platform.
This makes no sense.
It's not coming out for Wii U until September to wait.
It makes no sense. Why do you have to wait? Doesn't matter.
No reason.
Those people aren't going to be mad.
Yeah.
The people who made Bastion just like did this. They were interviewed or something, and they talked about how they discovered that it doesn't hurt them at all to stagger releases on platforms.
Yeah.
That's what Bastion did. Xbox Live, and they did a PC
then like, an iPad version, yeah.
And it worked out great for them. It doesn't matter.
If anything, you subtly change it each time, and people will buy it again.
Well, and they should, too, because they probably have to think of something to give the 360 and PS3 versions, because the cool thing about Rayman Legends is all the tablet stuff.
Right.
So, I mean...
Yeah, and like you said, Michael Ancel, the creator of Rayman, protested this. So clearly, like, the company's not all on board with this.
It's just
But
weird.
Here's what I said. This was not a decision made last week. If the game's 3 weeks from coming out, you don't just one day go, oh, let's do this. They made this decision a long time ago and didn't tell anybody. They had to.
It's like, look, I understand going multi-platform.
Yeah, fine.
They should have been from the beginning. I don't know why you would want to make it exclusive for a new system, because, like, your chances of selling games is bad, because there just aren't enough systems out. You can sell, to 4 million Wii U's compared to, like, 30 million PS3s and 360s,
right,
whatever it is. It's a lot more. So and nobody really cares that's multi-platform, but the idea that you're going to literally not let people buy the game... For another 7 months.
That's like 7 months. It's not an insignificant delay.
Somebody said on the Google Plus community, or one of the Google Plus communities, might have been Squadron Shame one, like that they think it's an okay idea because then you only have to like promote the game once. They're not going to promote this game.
Yeah, right. There's going to be a Rayman Legends commercial.
Yeah, right. Also, I mean, you know what? So what? Buy another banner out on GameSpot. Like how much promoting? You
right.
It's really dumb. It's one of the dumber things. It's
and if you're Nintendo,
Nintendo can't be happy. No.
Well, you call the president of Ubisoft. You're like, hey, bro, don't do that. What can we do for you?
What are they gonna do? Give them money? I mean,
well, what makes me think now is, I mean, Ubisoft was pretty much like the third party that was like, yeah, we're behind the Wii U. Look at all these games we're making for the Wii U.
I'm surprised none of them sold very well.
I'm worried for the Wii U almost.
Well, no. Everybody wants to make this a Wii U thing. It's not good for the Wii U. But like the fact that Rayman Legends is not an exclusive anymore or got delayed is not. Rayman Legends is going to be a very cool and a very fun game. It's going to be It's going to be a great showcase for the platform for us. Rayman is not that hot a property. Rayman Origins, that didn't do that well.
I know, but at the same time. After their whole launch window bullshit completely fell apart when every other game in the launch window got delayed, this was it.
I understand that this was it, and it should never have been it. But going from this is it to only having one wasn't that much better. They're gone from bad to worse.
But they were never, like, good.
I know.
My point is Rayman Legends is not a system seller.
I know, but it's just, like, for not a system seller, but for people who bought the system, like, oh, Nintendo...
To buy a game. Yeah, I
Nintendo
know.
Said all these games are going to come out this launch window, and then, like, Pikmin 3 got delayed, and Wonderful 101 got delayed, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and it's like, well, Rayman's coming out.
Not anymore.
Like, that was it.
Not anymore. Yeah. Again, look, it's dumb.
And I don't mean to go Nintendo bash here, but, like... They're like, oh, the 3DS, we learned our lesson, not enough software, blah, blah, blah.
Well, but this isn't Nintendo's fault. What can they do?
Yeah, but I'm still saying there's still no software for the Wii U right now. Like, what's come out for the Wii U since launch?
Nothing. But, I mean, yeah. It's the same thing. As it's going to be just like the 3DS. There's gonna This fall is going to be three Mario games.
I know. It's just still baffles me is all. So, Double Fine Adventure, the Kickstarter game they did.
Yeah.
It's coming to the Ouya. That's the exclusive console launch.
Do games come to the Ouya, or does the Ouya just play Android games? I don't understand.
Both.
Okay.
It's like a square is a rectangle, but a rectangle is not a square.
I guess. I mean, okay.
Yeah.
good for the Ouya.
They're going to sell that thing at, like, Best Buy and Target and everything. It's going to be fairly mainstream, I guess, as far as distribution goes.
It'll be interesting to see how well
it goes. So this kind of sucks, but it's... Quick here. Epic shut down Impossible Studios, which was like the Big Huge Game guys.
Now, help me out. Who did Big Huge Game? What did they make?
Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They already shut them down.
Yeah, they didn't even get to do anything, really. So that's kind of... Well, they were making that Infinity Blade Dungeons game for the iPad.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, is...
Maybe they were... Well,
yeah.
I guess they got a couple more months of appointment.
No, that's not coming up.
I said that at least they got it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Whatever. I mean, yeah, not great. Whatever.
Now, did you see about this mining glitch in Dead Space 3?
Yeah, apparently they say it's not a glitch. Maybe it's a glitch. Everyone's mad. Microtransactions. People want to... I don't know. Whatever. I
just find it weird that, like, the glitch is found, which lets you...
It's not a glitch.
But it lets you... It basically nullifies the microtransactions.
I mean, for one, I understand. It's just a thing where, like, you enter a room, you break the boxes, you get resources, you leave the room and come back in, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's an awful
thing. And it's just weird. People are really outraged about
the microtransactions. Really weird, like, it's really weird about Dead Space 3 because people have, like, really mean things to say about it, but then, like, they give it an 8 or, like, a 7 anyways.
Yeah, it sounds like it must have redeeming
qualities, but
yeah.
People, like, it's something people really don't want to like it, you know? But like, they kind of have to, like, admit that it's kind of... I'm sure it's a very well-made game in, like, terms of, like,
how... I mean, the Dead Space games always are.
Yeah, exactly. They're always... They look good. The mechanics are well-tuned.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next.
The opposite of that conversation, Tribes Ascend is adding a buy-to-play option to its free-to-play game. Do you see this?
No.
$30, get everything, just like you're buying a game.
That's cool.
But like it's just kind of funny because we were talking about, like, oh, all these, this MMO must not be doing well. It's going free-to-play. It's like a lot of people are like, oh, this free-to-play game must not be doing well. They're just selling it.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Which isn't the case. They're just saying, like, yeah, the game's been out for a while. We want to add more options to the game. This is for people who didn't want to try the free-to-play.
I'm worried if I went back to Tribes now, everybody would be so good at it, I would have stand a chance. It was kind of happening.
I wouldn't mind paying $30 to get everything.
Even as I was playing it, I was noticing everybody was getting better than me. Like, at first when I was playing it, I was getting a lot of flag caps and stuff.
Because, like, everyone didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, sweet, sweet, sweet. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, I'm not very good at
still, still a great game, though.
Yeah,
that was a really good game. So Last Guardian still being made, I guess?
What the rumor is PS4.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. That'd be a pretty big trump card.
On February 20th, they're like, here's our dick on the table. It's called Last Guardian.
Here's our launch title, Last Guardian. That would be a megaton.
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be a legit megaton. We haven't had one of those in a bit.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you what, though. What if we don't see it February 20th? If they do not talk about Last of Us on February 20th, I'm pretty...
The Last of Us or Last Guardian?
Whatever it's called. The Last of Us got delayed.
That was my next news story. Yeah, it's delayed a month. There you go.
It's weird, though, because it's coming out, like, the day after E3 now.
Yeah. Oh, that's what happened to Infamous 2. What? Nothing's happening.
Oh, Penny, calm down. I know you wanted to play The Last of Us. You can wait one more month. All right? Penny, don't go cancel your pre-order. No. Penny, wait.
It's going to be okay.
It's Naughty Dog. It'll be good.
Next. Being a naughty dog. Nark. Bungie's going to reveal Destiny on Sunday.
I'm doing a... Wait, is that
their new game?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to find out on Sunday.
It has a bad name to start off with. I don't like it. It's going to end up being, oh, it's the name of the spaceship or something. I don't know. Are you? I can't.
I'm curious. It's the first. I mean, I know they made games before Halo, but frankly, it's the first non-Halo thing we've ever seen Bungie do in the modern age of gaming. That holds a curiosity.
Is it going to be next gen?
Yeah, I assume at this point. I feel like Activision is not the publisher to launch new IP this late into a console cycle.
I feel like it can't be as big as Halo. You can't get that lucky twice, really.
Really? It's not really? Luck. Maybe it's skill.
Yeah, sure. Nah, there's a good amount of luck involved. Next.
Gas-powered games, after canceling their Kickstarter and things were looking bleak, they were bought by Wargaming, the guys who publish and develop World of Tanks.
Right.
So they live
what
on
to fight out of the
gas-powered games?
Yeah.
That's Chris Taylor's company, Dungeon Siege, oh, okay. And Demigod and all that stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
The WWE games thing has been sort of figured out.
See, you kept saying that they would get another developer. I don't know why you thought that.
Well, a lot of people didn't. I didn't say it. People said they didn't know.
Well, you could still the developer.
Well, here's why it worked out. Because THQ was a partial owner of Ukes.
Yeah.
So people, and that's pretty much all Ukes did anymore is make that game.
Right.
So basically what happened is they worked it out so that all of WWE's existing contracts were canceled and there was no debt associated with them. THQ's stake in Ukes was settled with no debt. 2K signs with WWE. They're hiring former THQ employees who worked on the franchise, and they're still, we think, it's still not quite clear, but it's pretty certain they're partnering with Ukes to develop future games. Still not clear if we're going to get WWE 14 this year. Like, it may have to skip a year now.
No, we're going to get WWE 14. Please. It depends. Do you realize how much cash cow is for them?
Oh, I know.
They're not going to miss it.
So, I mean, but that's, long story short.
I mean, there's no reason why Ukes couldn't have been developing this game the whole time. Like, they
if there wasn't any money to put into it, maybe not.
There's money.
Then why did THQ close?
It was WWE's money.
Oh, that could be. So, yeah, but basically, we know 2K owns the rights. Ukes is still working on it. There you go. And finally, and we'll tie this into Google Plusage. So Valve laid off some people from their hardware team?
I don't know why this deserved as much attention as it did. Because everybody thinks that
everyone's
Valve is
trying
angels?
To read into anything. No, it's because everyone. Anytime,
I think it's a little bit of that too.
Anytime someone from Valve says hardware, everyone's like, "Oh, the Steam Box."
Yeah. Everyone's like, "Oh, Steam Box is canceled."
Yeah,
a hardware guy got fired, and Gabe Newell's like, "Everyone, don't. We wouldn't even comment on this stuff, but you're all making a big deal about it. It's nothing."
Well, Jeff Parsons brought up a good point, because we know they are working on something. They said as much
at
CES.
They've been making a lot of – he's been talking about it a lot.
And basically what Jeff suggests, and I like this idea, is they were experimenting with a lot of different directions to go. They found the one they want, so you consolidate the team to focus on that.
Maybe. I don't care.
Okay. I know you don't care.
This is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, people like have to find a reason why Valve was like justified in firing people. Who cares? Whenever anyone else gets fired, no one's like, "Oh, but this is why they did it." It was really, you know, they had no choice. I'm just sick of the canonization of Valve.
Okay.
What are you looking for?
Nothing. I'm just looking at Google Plus stuff. We're doing that now.
Yeah, do it.
Okay. I just want to point everyone to the discussion started by Alex Conley about Badonkadonks in Borderlands.
Yeah, right. Nobody called us. Nobody seemed to think we were racist.
Yeah, that's good. But it's a very wordy and lengthy and excellent discussion, so everyone should check that out. So, looking for something lighter to talk about, I asked everybody, this is kind of in light of Fire Emblem, which is a phenomenal game that we'll talk about more in a little bit here. So I said, like, if you don't own a 3DS yet, why not? And, like, what would it take for you to get one?
I was surprised.
Kind of unanimously, everyone's like, I'm never getting one.
I was surprised how many of, like, our listeners and friends just have written off portable gaming.
Yeah, like just the whole thing, wholesale. Not even the 3DS, and like the 3DS Vita.
I didn't quite get why from the responses. Did you get that? They all said, like, they stopped.
Yeah.
Was it really explained? Because I don't understand, like, what was the point that portable gaming came bad? Because I've enjoyed portable gaming a lot, just forever.
Well,
ever since, I'll tell you what, like, I think like Pokemon kind of started like the modern age of portable gaming, and it's been a pretty steady stream since then. Because I love,
yeah,
it. And like I was thinking, because you get things like. Like a Mario Golf RPG with portable gaming, you know? You get these quirky rhythm games.
From what I can tell, based on the comments, I'm generalizing because everyone had slightly different reasons.
There's a lot of responses.
But basically, everyone kind of poo-pooed this, but it seems to be true. Phone gaming is cutting into it.
Phone gaming's not as good.
I understand that, but it's not about good. It's about I have 5 minutes to kill while I'm waiting in line. Do I get out my phone and play Angry Birds or get out like my Vita from bag?
Those are different things.
And play 5 minutes of Gravity
Rush.
Is
that what these guys are doing? They're playing mobile games? Is that
a lot of
saying?
Them, yeah.
Why?
Like Zach Eagle, for example, said, if I want handheld gaming that badly, I'll put a MOGA controller on my mobile device and play emulators or something.
Ew. No, you should be playing Fire Emblem because it's a lot better.
Here's another point, too.
I understand their point.
No, but where did you play Fire Emblem mostly? In your bed.
I understand that.
The Wii U to do that now.
Yeah, I know. I get that. It's not really a portable. It's always been like that. I've always mostly played my portable games, thing. You can take them out, and I do sometimes, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I play them in bed a lot. What? I don't know. It's just last year, my game of the year was Gravity Rush, a Vita game. I would be shocked if Fire Emblem is not up there at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. And I can't blame someone for not wanting a Vita because, frankly, like what Vita game is coming out in 2013 besides MLB The Show? We don't know.
Yeah.
But 3DS, especially even after this Nintendo Direct now, there's a lot of damn good 3DS. Games for that system.
I mean, I guess, well... I think a lot of those guys, they don't really like Nintendo games too, right?
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason. I've always really liked Nintendo games. And again, I guess like Pete, I think, would kind of be more like me, where like we like this weird stuff. Like we Professor Layton's and like the Phoenix Wrights,
Mm-hmm.
Like in the Hotel Dusk. Like I devour that stuff. That stuff is great to me.
Right.
That's amazing. That's some of like the best games in the last 10 years. But some people, that's just not what they want. I don't know. Maybe some people can clarify.
Yeah, it's...
I want to know, I just want to know, when you stopped or why you hate it. Because I really like portable gaming a lot.
Yeah, and,
it might be my favorite kind of gaming right now, to be honest. Well, I might like it more than console gaming.
There's really solid games coming up. Because you know why? The 3DS kind of hits the sweet spot of development. Because you don't have to spend, bajillions of dollars like you do to make a AAA console game. You can make a game that is pushing the power of the 3DS... That takes a few more risks and is still mainstream enough.
Also, as far as like the iPhone games go, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And I know you can put your mobile controller and you play emulators, but it's nice when you have a game that's like designed for a system and you play it on
right.
that system.
And I wouldn't say like Fire Emblem is amazing, buy a 3DS for it, but I would say is Fire Emblem is the reason you the first game you buy with your 3DS, and after that, then you could go get all these other good games that are out right
now. If you got a 3DS right now, you would have a pretty good backlog to start exploring.
So, speaking of Fire Emblem,
what did you think?
I really like this game a lot. I've been playing it since this weekend, and I'm playing it a lot.
So, what? Because I've talked about it a lot, and I've told you I really, really like it.
So, the strategy game playing, it's not too entirely different from Fire Emblem of old.
Yeah, it's what you would expect.
The pairing up is awesome.
Right, the whole social...
The first time when I had AJ, in the game, and Crom paired up, a bad guy went to go attack Crom, and my guy, leapt in front of him, pushed him out of the way, blocked the attack with his sword, and then they both counterattacked. I was just, kind of watching this screen, and I'm like, yes, do that. That is so cool. It was just such a great moment. And it happens a lot. So it's not this unique thing. But that first time it happened, I was like, yes! This is exactly what I wanted this game to be like. And I think the fact that one of the characters, not even the main character, really, but one of the characters is you, I like that a lot.
Right.
I mean, I'm always a sucker for that in games, whenever you get to embody a character. It's why I like RPGs so much.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it's not like where you're playing Final Fantasy and the character's name should be Cloud, but you could put in whatever you want.
I'll tell you what, right now, I know you're saying, he's not the main character, but
he really does become more important as it goes on.
That's awesome. Which, well, that makes me excited.
I would argue he is the main character, but now, I was all done with it.
Here's something I've come to appreciate about this game. It I'm going to compare it to Mass Effect in a weird way.
Interesting.
And here's why. Because one of the things I loved about the flow of playing Mass Effect is you have like a quote-unquote level where you're going through combat encounters and playing like kind of what you consider the game.
Yeah, I know.
But then after you finish a mission, you're back on the Normandy, and I would take a half hour to go talk to all of my crew and build the relationships and advance that part of the plot. But this game does that.
But the cool thing is in like Mass Effect, the relationships are always just with Shepard and this person, Shepard and this person.
Right.
There's a lot of combinations here between your army of who can talk to who can be friends with who can marry who. And there's in a lot of these relationships, and I'll tell you what, this is where the game picks up, and you're not even there yet, have consequences. And I won't go into it, but man, it blows your mind. It's so cool. It's so cool. I can't wait to get to that
part. Well, and the writing in this game is fantastic.
It really is. It's clever. It's funny.
Like,
it's,
I mean, so
it
far,
it knows when to be lighthearted. It knows when to kind of take things more seriously.
And like right now, I have three pairs of characters married. The way it's written, like it feels like those are the only choices.
That's what I feel like too. It's weird for me to imagine it not being like the people I married them off to. Like, mm-hmm. Who's married right now?
Virion and Sully.
It's the game seems to kind of want you to go.
Yeah,
that way,
I went with it.
Because they're introduced with each other.
Krom and Sumia.
Okay.
And you had your guy marry Sumia, right?
No, my guy's a man. Oh, yeah. Who did I marry Sumia? Oh, I had a... Have you had Gaius yet, the thief?
Yeah.
I had Gaius marry Sumia.
Really?
Yeah,
I haven't used that much, honestly.
I liked Gaius a lot. But
then the other one I did, because I thought the contrast was funny, was a character named Donald... And Muriel.
Right, Muriel's
because like Donald's kind of like this like country bumpkin with like a heart of gold kind of guy. And Muriel's like this very serious, very studious mage. And they actually, I mean, it literally, the whole thing takes place basically over four conversations. But the story of how they kind of fall in love with each other really makes sense in a weird way.
You know what's interesting? There's a part in the game, and when I was first playing, like after what I would say the first act, where if you did not like naturally get Krom to a marriage... the game like kind of jumps ahead and it'll
yeah, I had that kind of ruined for me actually.
What?
The fact that would happen.
Right. And
I beat it to it, I guess.
Yeah. But that's what happened to me. And what's interesting though is for whatever reason there's like five girls he can marry. If all of them are dead, he just marries like a village girl, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cuz the rest of you
can marry. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's funny. Cool. But I mean, there's a ton of characters in this game. Like, I was just today, I was flipping through, like, the list, and it says, like, all the silhouettes. I only have, like, a third of the characters.
That's cool, because, like...
I mean, the only bummer is, like, just thinking, like, how many you could use in a battle. Like, I'm never going to use a lot of these characters.
You will never see, like, all, like, those like I said, those conversations. You'll never be able to play as every character your first playthrough. Mm-hmm. It's funny, because, like, I got to the end of the game, and, like, I was looking at the list, and I was like, oh, yeah, that guy... Right. But it's weird because like the nine people I used all the time, I was always like seeing their conversations with eight people, I really got a sense of that's my army, you mm-hmm. know? Like this game stars those nine people. It's like if Colonel Cross didn't suck. And like you had three people in your party and it felt like that was very important.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Instead of like you have an option of 40 people and they're all bland and don't do anything important. Except for, like, two of them.
Honestly, the only thing that's keeping me from using more characters right now is I don't have enough females in my
I'll tell
potential
you what,
pool.
It is very... Yeah, that is...
I like, insist on having them based off in gender pairs so that I can build marriages.
Yeah, exactly, because...
Because marriage characters are very powerful together.
Because that's the only way you can get the S rank. And when you have the S rank, the boost, the stat boosts
are crazy.
Are crazy, and
they almost always complement each other's attacks.
Right, or like defend the other person. Exactly. So it's like really strong to pair up the married people. That's that's the best thing about the game is like that crazy dynamic of like this whole marriage system.
And I haven't. I'm just finishing up a battle I started earlier today where I just got my first master seal and first second seal.
Okay.
I haven't even done that yet.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and I already have characters who are like level 16.
Wow.
Because I'm doing like every optional battle and side quest.
Yeah, which is smart to do.
I plan to let I'm not rushing this game at all. Part because I'm enjoying it so much. Like I'm content to just take my time, max out as much as I want. I mean I'm just having a freaking blast with it. It's phenomenal. It honestly, like, if this game came out last year, it It's definitely in my top three, if not number one. I mean, it's good.
It is shockingly
It's really good.
It is shockingly good for, like, because you think Fire Emblem, you never think, like, oh, yeah, wow.
I mean, and that's the nice thing, too. Nintendo put a ton of effort into this game.
Just,
the soundtrack's great. The graphics are awesome.
That was kind of
awesome.
The problem with, like, the GameCube and the Wii Fire Emblem is that they felt cheap.
Yeah, I forgot they even happened.
Yeah, they felt cheap. They kind of felt like an afterthought. These do not.
No. Yeah, it's awesome. This is what we're talking about with the problem with the Vita. This wasn't like Nintendo got some scrubs
exactly,
together. Like,
yeah,
make a Fire Emblem game. They're like, all right, Intelligent Systems, you're the guys who make Fire Emblem. You're going to make one for the 3DS
and
now.
It's going to be the best Fire Emblem.
Right?
Ever.
That's what Sony needs to do.
Right.
They need to get Guerrilla Games to be like, make a Killzone for Vita.
That's kind of one of the advantages that Nintendo has, is that they have, like, studios who have been making portable games for a long time.
True, true.
Not that Intelligent Systems hasn't always made portable games, but they made a lot of them at this point with Advance Wars and this. How cool would it be now if these guys made an Advance Wars game for the 3DS that was as kick-ass as this?
Oh, my God.
Man.
Well, you know how they're doing that Shin Megami Tensei cross Fire Emblem?
Yeah.
When do we get an Advance Wars cross Fire Emblem? That would be really rad.
Do you see yourself getting any of the DLC for Fire Emblem when you're done? Because I'm kind of getting an itch to play it again.
I'm going
to
get it.
And the DLC is cool because, like, it's basically a lot of fan service. It's like, oh, you can recruit Roy into your party.
I got Roy's sword today.
Yeah,
I was so excited about that.
I got Ellie Wood's sword.
Also, I forgot, I meant to text you about this too. Not that I don't think you care too much, but, like, if you go to the barracks on a character's birthday, they get a ton of shit.
Oh, really?
And Muriel's birthday was just a couple days ago.
That is so cool.
Yeah, you get, like, stat boosts and items up the wazoo. So, like,
that's pretty deep.
I mean, my birthday's next Friday, so I'm going to be playing the game and just get a ton of shit for my character. I'm very excited.
That's really cool.
I know!
Look, if you've got a 3DS, get Fire Emblem.
Yeah, if you have a 3DS, you don't have this game, you are doing it wrong.
I don't
this game is
more about
so
it.
Good.
Both, like, and I
mean, this is what I do now. I get a half-hour lunch break at work every day. I hurry up and eat my lunch in 10 minutes, and then I get out my earbuds and play Fire Emblem for 20 minutes and go to work.
Home all the time?
No, so that's...
Yeah.
That's
well, Fire Emblem's great because you can play, like, a couple turns and whatever.
Right, just... I mean, not only does the 3DS sleep, but then it has, like, the bookmark thing where you can save anywhere, and it just makes, like, a temporary save. It's great. Good game. Great game. Love it.
I like my Fire Emblem. All right. Did you? I don't know if you played anything else, did you?
Well, the DLC came out for PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Yes.
We played that.
With Kat and Emmett.
Emmett.
Which, like, Emmett's from Starhawk. I knew of Starhawk. I didn't realize he even had a single-player campaign.
Yeah, that's free right now,
but
actually.
Emmett's kind of cool. His big thing is, like, his circle attacks drop, like, those, like buildings.
Turrets and stationary things.
And like,
pickups.
Weapons, yeah. Yeah, so he's kind of weapon-based, but he's a bit more rangy. Kat is really cool, and everyone knows I love Gravity Rush. I think I
can't
go. Yeah, but Kat is very much like a close-quarters combo kind of character.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, like, her double jump has changed. And honestly, like, when you hit the second jump, she just dashes in the direction you're holding. So you have to be, like, it takes a little getting used to.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Because you feel like you're not jumping as high, because you're probably holding down a left or right button when you're doing it, so you're really just kind of zooming sideways.
But I'll tell you what's neat, it's like, not only, like, the characters added, but they each have their own set of challenges. They each have, like, their story mode thing. Like, they're each other rivals
now. It's very complete DLC.
It's very, yeah. It is. As far
feels
as,
like
character
it was
DLC
there the
go,
whole time.
Yeah. But it's pretty, it's really cool. As far as character DLC goes. And it was free, so.
Right.
And
so hard to complain about that.
It's cool, because, like, now, like, before I was only playing as Drake, now I'm playing as Drake and Kat.
There you go.
My two favorite PlayStation characters.
Yay.
I'm going to play a lot more Neo Kune still. I don't really have a whole lot more to say. I really, 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 really like that game. I just got, like, the dragon, though, and, like, you know, it's like getting an airship in Final Fantasy.
Right.
You can fly around. And it's also, it's not, like, quite, it's weird because you get the teleport spell before this. You can teleport
which
to, like,
is kind of like fly in Pokemon almost.
Yeah, you can teleport to, like, key areas, but you still need the dragon to get the specific areas,
okay.
You know? But the cool thing, I just love, like, I think I sang it as the intro one time on the podcast, like the Ni No Kune theme.
Right.
I've been listening to a lot of, you know, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun. And I love themes, and games don't have, like, themes anymore a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much more subdued music, so I love that this game just has, like, a theme, and it's awesome.
Oh, can we go quick back to Fire Emblem?
The Fire Emblem theme.
I've noticed that thing you're talking about where, like, when you're in the overworld map, it's kind of like a lighter, more, like, wind instruments-based version of the music,
yeah,
and then when it cuts down to a battle, it just, like...
The full orchestra comes in.
Like, just... comes in and fades in and then oh, it's so cool.
Yeah,
anyway.
but yeah, just like when you summon your dragon and you get on top, like the overworld song becomes this really epic fanfare and you're flying the dragon. I'm like, yes. I'll tell you, and
Like the Wizard Companion, like the last like few sections of it are devoted to a thing it's called like the 12 Tales of Wonder. It's a bunch of fables, and like I read one of them, and I don't want to give much away, but like you realize like halfway through, it's about one of the characters in the game, and it becomes incredibly touching.
Oh wow!
And you're like, oh, it was awesome.
I do want to spend some more time with that game once I get the
yeah. To make sure you have, I mean, because it is long. I'm about 30 hours into it right now, and
right,
I think I'm like at the halfway point. Really, it's a long game.
That's okay.
Don't mind that. Don't cool. mind that. I could use plenty of Ni no Kuni.
So this isn't really a game per se, but Wreck-It Ralph came out on HD Digital
yeah.
this week, and I was looking at the deleted scenes. Have you seen those yet?
Oh, is it? I didn't see it. I saw one because I posted it on IGN.
Was it the one with Extreme
yeah.
Life Relaxer number yeah. 2 or something like that? Which is basically like a weird mix of like The Sims and like a little bit of GTA.
Like though. Second Life or something.
Yeah. Okay. It's funny because it features like this character who was cut from the movie. Who's kind of like the laziness enabler for Ralph, like the guys in Pinocchio.
Nah, yeah.
And it's funny because like in the first part where he's like explaining this game that exists, he shows Ralph like the cheat code to get in. And it's like PlayStation buttons,
right?
And the game itself is like just people liking things, and every time you get a like, you get a coin.
Yeah, it's basically a free to play game.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. So Wreck-It Ralph is awesome. Yeah, everyone should watch it.
Releases.
All right, so. The first release, and I do want to talk about it a little bit, just a little bit, is Aliens Colonial Marines.
I mean, I haven't played it at all. It looks really bad. It's
getting panned.
It's an embarrassment for Gearbox, for sure.
Yeah, like, there's that saying, you're only as good as your last game. I mean, the guys who made Borderlands 2 are getting shit on.
Yeah.
To the point where people now are like, what, is the new Brothers in Arms going to be good? Maybe not. Maybe it's a piece of crap, too. Like, they whatever goodwill they've built up in the last year or so,
it's weird.
They just killed it.
This game took forever to make, too.
Yeah, I don't understand. And it looks bad.
And like, apparently, like, people are like, oh, because they outsourced it. But that's not really what happened. They did.
Well, we don't know.
Like, no. Somebody did report. They did horizontal developing with this other studio. Which means basically they just worked on the game together. I don't know. Ben Kachira had this interesting piece up where he was talking about how you just can't do an Aliens game.
Yeah.
Like, never mind, like, all the technical issues. But even still, like, the whole point is that an alien is scary. And you shouldn't be able to mow down a bunch of machine gun, you know? In, like,
yeah.
In one quarter fight.
Right.
Then they're not, there's no threat to them anymore. And he made an interesting point, like, how the Alien versus Predator games work. Because if you throw a Predator into the mix, it kind of evens out the playing field.
Because mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden, everybody has their own weaknesses and strengths. You almost have, like, a paper, scissor, like, rock
right,
dynamic
right,
to
right.
it. Right, but, yeah, and I don't know. It's bad.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Next.
Omerta, City of Gangsters for the 360.
Okay.
Oh, Dragonborn is out for PS3. Isn't that crazy?
That's nice. They have all of them now, right?
Well, no. Next week, Hearthfire comes out. Then the week after that, Stoneguard. And they're
that's
like
interesting. It's like
they're,
reverse.
They're each like half off for the first week. Yeah. It's like an olive branch. Like,
yeah,
sorry that
sure.
took so long.
Right.
You should get Dragonborn, by the way. For
I will.
PC. It's awesome.
I mean, I got a lot of.
There's new Yu-Gi-Oh game out for PS3 and 360. Oh, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transform for 3DS. Apparently, it's not a good version.
I was never really expected it to
I know. Apparently, its biggest thing is it has frame rate issues, and a lot of, like, challenges got cut.
Weird.
Too bad. The Vita version, though, is just the console version, right. So if you want a portable one, get the Vita one, I guess. New Brain Age for the 3DS. That's it.
There's new Brain Age for the 3DS?
It is.
Are you sure?
Brain Age Concentration Training.
They used to be a big deal when they made those.
Because it sold a shit ton, but... I don't
not
know.
Anymore.
Like, maybe not.
All right. All right. Thanks for listening to the Explain Bro podcast, everybody.
Yeah.
You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Check out our Google Plus community. We'll have a new question and make your own topics. We'll all talk with each other.
It'll it's fun. Engaging in discourse
yeah.
is a good time.
Yeah. Check out our Twitter, twitter.com/explodingbarrel, and our Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Slash is a hard word to say sometimes.
Sometimes.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel podcast. Bye.
Bye-bye. Everyone's like, oh, the Steam box!